From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 Digital exclusive.
As we head into the second half of summer, the looming question of whether we'll see more wildfires and smoky skies pops into our minds. The last few summers have been relatively smoky around these parts, especially throughout the months of August and September, which is usually our smokiest point of the year. I got a chance to speak with an expert at the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality to learn more about our air quality and why it's important to monitor smoke in the Pacific Northwest. Here's my conversation with Evan Bing of the Oregon DEQ. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Coin6 Your Weather podcast. Today, we are talking about air quality and what to look for as we head more into summertime. We have seen a couple weekends here with a little bit of haze, and we have seen some wildfires burning down in southern Oregon and also central Washington, which have contributed to this haze. So on the phone right now, we've got Evan Bing. He's the Oregon DEQ's air quality meteorologist and is an expert here in air quality and how we monitor it around the region. So thank you, Evan, for joining us.
Hi, Kelly, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty cool. You're an air quality meteorologist. So how did you find yourself working for the Oregon DEQ? And can you tell us a little bit more about your history?
Sure. Well, I went to meteorology school for my undergraduate degree. And when I graduated from school, I was looking for any positions that were weather related. And as it turns out, weather has a big impact on air quality. So I began looking for positions at local health department and other state departments of environmental quality, and was lucky enough to land an interview out in Oregon. I'm originally from Illinois, near Chicago, and that's where I went to school, but I was fortunate enough to find a position with Oregon DEQ and move out here several years ago.
Yeah, that's an awesome background. It seems like our past few summers, we have seen quite a few smoky weeks. So it seems like this is a really good area to have to focus on air quality and monitoring it across the region.
Yeah, definitely. And as you mentioned at the beginning, we have been seeing a lot of smoke from fires that are burning in pretty distant places like Washington and even in Canada. In fact, earlier this week, NASA reported that smoke as far away from northern Russia had been detected in the skies over Alaska and western Canada. So it's definitely some of that more regional transport of smoke that we've been seeing here in the Pacific Northwest in recent weeks.
Yeah, so you're saying even fires way up north, up and even over the pole there in Russia, we can get some smoke from those regions over into the Pacific Northwest.
That's right, yeah. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, they operate two weather satellites that produce excellent high-resolution images of the eastern and western U.S. every few minutes. So we can easily monitor new smoke plumes as they pop up and sort of track their growth and dispersion.
Wow. So, I mean, this summer, it seems like we've gotten a little bit lucky with our fire season. It was slightly delayed, and we haven't seen the large fires that we saw 2 years ago, for example, the Eagle Creek fire in the gorge there that got to hundreds of thousands of acres. The current ones that we have are maybe about 10,000 to 20,000 acres, still pretty big. But we have seen some haze and smoke in the region. So what is it about air quality that is important to track? So like what exactly is in our air that is bad for humans?
Air pollution basically comes in two main forms. It's produced both naturally in the environment, and it's also man-made. So smog is one of the forms of air pollution that we're familiar with, and that's typically associated with man-made pollution. Smog is a combination of several different air pollutants like sulfur dioxide and nitrogen dioxide, and they primarily result from the combustion of fossil fuels. Emissions from motor vehicles and industrial facilities are common sources of fossil fuel combustion. And these pollutants react with sunlight and heat to produce ozone and haze, which is one reason why sort of images of hot and sunny, partially obscured city landscape come to mind when we hear the word smog. And then wildfires are some of the biggest producers of smoke particles, and they can be both naturally occurring or man-made, as we saw with the Eagle Creek fire that you mentioned in 2017. And then smoke particles are comprised largely of something called fine particulates. And the technical term for fine particulates is PM2.5, which means particulate matter with a diameter of 2.5 micrometers and smaller. And 2.5 micrometers is about 1/10,000th of an inch. So we're talking extremely small particle sizes.
Right. So the human eye can't really see these particles right in front of our faces. You can kind of look up and see how maybe hazy it looks, or even notice when it's smokier down towards the surface. But that's why it's important for folks to monitor these levels as well, as we get some fires in our region and we're calling for smoke, right? Because we can't necessarily see these particles, but we know they're dangerous for us.
Yeah, exactly. And breathing smoke particles is obviously not ideal. But it's quickly becoming a fact of life for many people in the Pacific Northwest. And the primary danger of smoke particles in PM2.5 comes from their extremely small size. The particles are so small that they can actually penetrate deep into your lungs and bloodstream, where they can cause heart attacks, damage to your respiratory system, and even premature death if you're exposed to them for high concentrations over extended periods of time. The risk associated with breathing smoke varies based on your overall health, age, as well as the severity and duration of the smoke. So elderly and people with breathing disabilities are particularly at risk and can feel the impacts of degraded air quality even at relatively low concentrations.
Right. So folks should be very mindful when your local meteorologists and, you know, folks at the DEQ are saying these ratings to either stay inside, or, you know, ratings are good, moderate, or unhealthy for sensitive groups. Can you go over some of those categories for us?
Sure. So DEQ's AQI follows the Environmental Protection Agency's AQI scale, which was basically created to simplify the public's understanding of air quality pollutant concentrations and sort of the measures they can take to protect their health. The AQI scale includes six color-coded categories that are easily readable. They are good, moderate, unhealthy for sensitive groups, unhealthy, very unhealthy, and hazardous. Each AQI category includes a description of sensitive populations that may feel the effects of degraded air quality.
Okay. Yeah. So some of those folks maybe who are younger or a lot more elderly, even in the unhealthy for sensitive groups, that's kind of when I stress to folks who may have respiratory issues to stay inside or very much limit their time outdoors.
Yes, exactly. And as we've kind of seen in the past few days and weeks with the periods of moderate air quality, those are the sort of populations that can start to feel the impact of air pollution, even at those low concentrations.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So do you folks at the DEQ forecast AQI?
Yes, we do forecast the AQI, and those values can be found at airnow.gov.
Okay.
It's important to remember, though, that air quality can change very rapidly, especially when wildfires are popping up left and right. So checking the AQI a few times a day is definitely a good way to ensure that you have the most up-to-date air quality information.
Right. And again, the AQI is the air quality index. So it's that level, again, of how polluted our air quality is at the surface and aloft as well. So can you tell us a little bit about how you folks forecast the air quality?
Sure. DEQ uses access to satellite images that are provided by the NOAA satellites GOES 17 and GOES 16. And those are basically weather satellites that hover above the United States over the east and western parts of the country. And they provide updated imagery every few minutes, so we can easily track the movement of smoke plumes. And we actually try to combine those images with output data from smoke models that are produced by the National Weather Service, the U.S. Forest Service, and other universities throughout the Pacific Northwest to try to build a bigger picture of the overall air quality impacts over the next few days.
Nice. So to get a little bit nerdy, when I'm forecasting smoke, I look at the experimental rapid refresh, the HER, we like to call it. I'm sure you guys have taken a peek at that model too. How do you feel about that model?
Yes, the HRRR smoke model is experimental, as you said, but it's proving to be one of the most useful smoke models that we've had access to over the past couple of seasons, and they continuously refine the model output. So we've been able to take significant advantage of that model in particular for generating our forecasts.
Yeah, it tends to do pretty well in my use with it. So I'm a big fan of the HER, so I'll probably continue to use that as I forecast into the summertime. So as we were talking before, this summer hasn't been as bad as previous summers in terms of actual air or smoke here in the valley. So have you noticed many changes since the last couple of years where we have seen that smoke compared to maybe the past decade or the past 20 years?
Yeah, you know, over the last 5 years or so, it's kind of been a mixed bag. And we've definitely seen some years like the last two, the previous two seasons, 2017 and 2018, the intensity of smoke from wildfires was very significant in the Northwest. Early research has indicated that the severity of these wildfires may be associated with some of the impacts of climate change due to the more irregular weather patterns and hotter temperatures we're seeing in summer. But those irregularities can also have positive results, if you want to look at it that way. However, as we have had a comparatively cool and very mild smoke season so far this year.
Yeah, it's been pretty fortunate that we have. Do you have any outlooks going into the rest of summer of what we may see in terms of air quality and smoke and maybe wildfires?
Yeah, so August is typically one of the worst months for air quality in Oregon and the Pacific Northwest due to the wildfires popping up all the time. And we've had a pretty mild August so far, despite the Milepost 97 fire and a few others in eastern Oregon popping up. That being said, the National Weather Service outlook for the remainder of the month and into next month is showing hotter and drier temperatures than usual. So that does not necessarily bode well for wildfires and the smoke they produce.
Right. So we can't rule out that we will just have a clean summer, you know, and we'll see beautiful blue skies. We could very well still get some smoke here in the region.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there are portions of the state and the Northwest that are very dried out, and a lightning strike in one of those areas could easily create a massive wildfire with significant smoke impacts.
Right. So in terms of summer versus, say, winter, I know we do see some pollution in the winter times when we get those capping inversions here in the valley. And that's just a cloud deck that doesn't really move. So the air column doesn't move. It's pretty stagnant. And we sometimes see some pollution buildup. So how does summer and winter compare, or any other season compare, to our air quality going into the years?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, in the summer, we see the impact of the wildfire smoke, which is probably the biggest concern throughout the year. But as you mentioned, in the winter, we do see those inversions, and those are an air quality hazard associated with the winter weather. And they typically settle in during the late evening and early morning hours on clear nights, and they degrade the air quality by sort of decreasing the overall volume that the air pollutants can mix into, like the smoke from wood stoves that people use to heat their homes. Mm-hmm. So this means that smoke that would otherwise be safely ventilated into the higher levels of the atmosphere is actually trapped down near the ground level where we breathe. And these inversions frequently go hand in hand with stagnant large-scale weather patterns. So they kind of combine forces to produce AQI levels in the winter that typically range in the moderate to unhealthy for sensitive groups categories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I remember seeing, you know, burn bans, unless that's your only method of heating your home, especially in the wintertime, due to the stagnant air and the stagnant weather patterns that we do get. Yeah, so that's pretty interesting, summer compared to winter there. So last question, where can folks go to find detailed information on air quality?
You can read more about our air quality index and find other useful air quality tools at oregon.gov/DEQ. And a recent addition in the last couple of years to our list of tools is the DEQ air quality app, Oregon Air, all one word. And you can find that on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store.
Oh, nice, an app. That's very handy for the folks on the go.
Yep, definitely.
Awesome. Anything else to add, Evan?
No, I'd just like to say thank you for allowing us the chance to speak about air quality, and just wanted to convey the message that people are really becoming a lot more interested in the air quality index, and they're aware that they have the ability to check their local air quality in real time. So we're trying to encourage the dissemination of that knowledge among the public and encourage them to explore the tools that we've made available for them.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you, Evan, for joining me in this Coin6 weather podcast.
Thanks a lot, Kelly.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
And again, you can find information on air quality all around Oregon on their website. Again, the monitoring data webpage, and we'll link that within this podcast. But join us again in a couple weeks for our next episode. We'll be talking about what parents need to know about the weather to get their kids ready for school this fall.
The Coin6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin6 Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.